Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
Do you understand that the Christ should die and rise? Now, I think that's the question that Jesus asked in verse 25 or 26. Was it necessary or was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And it is, I think, a very timely question, especially for us na dito po sa Pilipinas, because as I've already said, a lot of celebrations are going on. The streets were empty last Friday, and many are in the province, most especially. And if you grew up in the province, you will understand that this is a big-time celebration in the province. There's something that people actually wait every year. Some who have stopped going to church, whatever church that they go to, would suddenly go to church on that particular week. And this morning, I saw the post of my best friend in Cebu, and he was posting about ito pong celebration somewhere down in the south of Cebu. It's Dalaget. It's a town in Cebu, a very big celebration, a reenactment of the last days of Jesus here on earth. So in terms of celebration and tradition, hindi po tayo nagkukulang as a country. However, taking that into consideration, we are also surprised why there are not much worship, true worship. There are not much giving of lives to Christ. Why there are not much people who can profess that they are already saved because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this passage that we will have today, I chose this not to focus much on the resurrection only, but also the role of the scripture if the death and resurrection of Jesus should be understood. And we can always bring you to someone to Rizal Park in Manila and explain that this is Jose Rizal, he was shot. But if that person, if we will not bring him to our historical books and explain why he died as a martyr, then his monument that we can find in Manila would mean nothing at all. It is the history that should explain what happened. And in the same way, Jesus or Luke here is trying to tell us that, yes, we can historically affirm that there was such a person by the name of Jesus, and this person lived this kind of life, and he was crucified in the cross. But if, for Luke, if you will not read the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in light of the Old Testament scripture, then you will miss the point of the death and resurrection of Christ. In fact, even today, we still need scripture if the gospel of Jesus Christ should give hope to people. Now, Luke wanted to prove to his readers what they have been taught. And the book of Luke was written by Luke not to say new things. If you look at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we understand Luke's purpose of this account on the life of Jesus, and that is to prove to his readers that the things taught to them were indeed true. But more than affirming to them that these truths are true, these things are true, he wanted their hearts to be, in Luke's word, in chapter 24, verse 32, he wanted their hearts to be burning in these truths. He wanted these truths to set their hearts ablaze. That this truth is not supposed to be just an information, an intellectual thing. These truths are supposed to bring passion in the hearts of those who knew it. I think here in chapter 24, that the ablazing of their hearts in the truth is vividly displayed, or klarong-klaro po na pinakita, by the change of countenance of the disciples from sadness or hopelessness to a hope-founded joy. This is basically my intention as well today, that by God's grace through the Holy Spirit, the truths of the death and resurrection of Jesus will change our countenance. If there are some of us who are sad, if there are some of us who felt bored in this life, that as we are reminded of what Jesus has accomplished for us, we will be set ablaze. Studying the book of Luke and the book of Acts, by the way, sequel po siya, is not supposed to be separated. It's supposed to be understood together. Well, hindi po tayo makahanap ng single theme that would say this is all, or this is what the book of Luke and the book of Acts is all about. There are several themes that run along these two books. But one of it is certainly the claim of Luke that Jesus is the Son of Man. And do you know that there are 25 times in the book of Luke that the expression Son of Man is mentioned? 25 times. Which, kapag pag-aaralan po talaga natin itong title na ito, it does not only says that Jesus is the real man as designed by the Lord, but really pointing to Jesus being the Son of God. God in human flesh, if you may, which is basically the description of what the Christ is. But we will not deal much of it today, at least, as it is not our main concern. What is important to note, no, yung gusto ko pong makita natin, is that in seeking to prove that Jesus is the Christ, Luke reserved the death and resurrection of Jesus as his greatest proofs. No, ito yung pinakaprueba ni Luke that there is no other Messiah. There is no other Savior. There is no other Christ but Jesus. That the word Christ is not Jesus' family name. No, na, that's my pinsan si Jesus, Christ din yung apelido. That the death and the resurrection of Jesus proves that he owns the title, that he owns the office of the Christ. So how can we arrive with what I believe is the main thing that Luke wanted to communicate in Luke 24? Knowing that we are dealing with 53 verses. So while these stories can surely be separated when preaching, you can have a preaching on the women, you can have a preaching on the two disciples in Emmaus Road, and you will have another sermon on the disciples. But I believe Luke has a way of putting three stories together to communicate one point. We already see that one in Luke 15. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son, three different parables pointing to one and the same thing. And I think these three stories here placed by Luke is designed to communicate one point. So what I will do today is just to let us or draw three general observations. So notice, not points, but observations. Okay, not points, but observations. And then we will have our one point in this sermon, our big idea, and then we'll draw three implications at the end. So the story goes, of course, that the women went there early to put spices on Jesus' body, but they found out that Jesus's body was not there. And the angel had to remind them that of what Jesus had already told them. And it seemed like this did not change the mind. This did not move the disciples, because the two disciples to Emmaus Road, they were still sad and hopeless. And then last story, we find that Jesus had to appear to the disciples to explain to them his word. First general observation from the passage is that the death and resurrection of Jesus would not make sense apart from the word. This is for Luke. The death and resurrection of Jesus would not make sense apart from God's word. People celebrate the passion of Christ and his resurrection, but they don't seem to find hope in Christ nor adore Christ for it. There's something really strange with Luke's account. Really strange. Aside that we know from Matthew and John that the women saw Jesus actually. Matthew 28:9, you can read it there. They did not just hear from the angels. They actually saw the resurrected Christ. John 20:11-18 recorded that one in a lengthy way, that these women who told the disciples about the resurrection of Jesus, they actually saw the resurrected Jesus. I never thought about it because I think Luke was also dependent on this material, but he did not mention it. He only recorded that they were angels. They were told by the angels. And while he mentioned that the Lord appeared to Peter prior to appearing to the rest of the disciples, verse 34, this might be the appearing of Jesus to Peter that Paul also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5. But Luke did it rather discreetly. It's not central to his account. He just put it there. That the people were saying, or the disciples were saying, indeed, the Lord appeared to Peter. Have you thought about it? What is Luke up to? If you want to prove that Jesus has resurrected from the dead, why didn't you put the account that the women actually saw the risen Christ? Luke instead insisted on the word if the disciples should make sense of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Only Luke did this one. Only Luke did this in the account of Matthew. Matthew did not do it this way. Mark did not do it this way. John did not do it this way. But central to the account that Luke wrote about the death and resurrection of Jesus is God's word. Verses 6 to 8, we know that the angels reminded the women of the words of Christ. Verses 25 to 27, Jesus explained the word to the disciples. Luke 24, 44 to 49, Jesus explained the word to his disciples. Which we realize the centrality or yung importansya po ng salita po ng Panginoon in making sense of the death and resurrection of Christ if we will see it as our hope. So we are in the book of Luke, so we have to focus on that. The women were expecting the body of Jesus to still be in the tomb, didn't they? They were preparing the spices, presumably to anoint the body of Jesus, 2 days before they went to the tomb so that they can rest on the Sabbath, according to chapter 23 and verse 56. After all, it is what anyone would do for their loved one who just died. Now, verses 1 to 3 of Luke 24, makikita natin that these women have no hint at all that Jesus has resurrected. They were actually expecting to find the body of Jesus in the tomb. That we are told that they went there early. Siguro talagang pinatapos lang po nila yung Sabbath. But they were so eager to go to the tomb so they can show their love by bringing spices para ma-preserve kahit papaano yung body ni Jesus. And that they surely expected that the body of Jesus was still there is evident in the question of the angel in verse 5. Ang sabi po ng angel in verse 5, why do you seek the living among the dead? Bakit niyo hinahanap yung buhay sa lugar ng mga patay? Aside from the fact that despite of how many times Jesus taught them about his death and resurrection, Luke 9:22, Luke 9:44, and you will see this over and over again, that Jesus was actually preparing them for this death. The disciples actually expected otherwise. They expected him to triumph for sure. But to die? No. And Luke 24:21 implies that. In Luke 24:21, we are told that the disciple says, he died, but we had hoped that he was the hope of Israel. Clearly implying that now that he died, we lost our hope. If they did not expect the death of Jesus, more so that they did not expect that Jesus will resurrect from the dead. Now, what is particularly striking is that after hearing that an angel told the women of Jesus' resurrection, so the women went there, maybe excited, telling them, the angels appeared to us. And if you take the account of Matthew and take the account of John, maybe they were saying, actually, the Lord Jesus himself appeared to us. And yet we read this in verse 11. When the disciples heard this, verse 11 read, these words seem to be an idle tale. And the word idle, we already said na yung word na idle po, ini-incorporate po ito sa mga women na matatanda na parang wala nang magawa sa buhay kundi magkwentuhan. And it is obvious that Luke wanted to say something here because these were the women who told them, and they were like, wala na kayong magawa sa buhay. Ano tong invento that you are talking about? This is an idle tale. And that they did not believe them. They did not believe them. Reports were coming. It was posted in Facebook. The disciples read of it. They heard it from the people who first experienced it. But they will not believe. And more windows are opened by Luke to let us see kung ano po nangyayari sa mga disciples on this day, even after they heard of the report of Jesus' resurrection. When Luke tells us about these two disciples walking down Emmaus Road, prevented from recognizing Jesus, who conversed with them. Verse 17, after Jesus said, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? The rest of verse 17 reads, and they stood still, looking sad. Now take note carefully here. They stood still, looking sad, but this is after they heard that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And after relating to Jesus what happened in Jerusalem those days, we read of these words that these disciples saying. They told Jesus, but we had hope in verse 21, but we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Which means they still felt like they lost hope. They were sad and hopeless, even after the hearing that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And look carefully in the book, in Luke 24, all this just changed. Their sadness, their hopelessness, all of these things only changed when they understood the word. In fact, Jesus did not only appear to them. Think about it. Jesus could have just appeared to them and say, hey, I resurrected from the dead. But Jesus then invited them to a Bible study. It is clear in the theology of Luke that you cannot understand the gospel of Christ apart from the word. Apart from the word of the scripture, you cannot understand it, at least not in the saving way. Apart from the word, the death and resurrection of Jesus would have no value at all to people. And people may not see it as an idle tale, like the disciples when they first heard of Jesus' resurrection. But they also do not see it as their hope. Diba? As I've said earlier, it would be like showing my children, you know, this is Jose Rizal, and fail to explain the significance of his death through the historical books. Our country, again, is big in celebrating the Passion of Christ, and many are hitting the beach today because it is Easter Sunday. Some are still looking for the Easter egg. But it does not move many to faith. It does not move many to hope. They are still the hopeless people. Tomorrow they will still feel like there's no reason to live. Tomorrow they will still feel like the mountains they're carrying is too heavy for them to carry. Tomorrow they will still feel that any given moment they can just be gone and they do not have hope. But isn't it the essence of the resurrection? Understanding the importance of God's word, as Luke emphasized, it is not surprising because while there are big celebration, no one pays attention to the word. Same goes with the church many times. And I realize next year I have to preach on the Passion of Christ prior to Resurrection Sunday, just so that we can program our mind how to celebrate the Holy Week. Because unless we have meditated on God's word pertaining to the death and resurrection of Christ, it will only be a history that does not bring hope to our present life. We can have all the celebrations, but Christ is not at the center of it. And the tragic thing is that we are saved already. We are certain that what will happen today, whatever would happen to us, we are certain that we will be with God forever, and yet we are living discouraged, feeling of hopelessness, despondent life. This should lead us to our second observation. The first one, again, is that apart from the word, we could not understand the death and resurrection of Christ. The second observation is that the problem of unbelief will leave our knowledge of the word irrelevant. Sometimes alam po natin eh, pero yung unbelief. Now Luke is not subtle. Hindi po subtle si Luke in telling us that the problem with the disciples was unbelief. That they have forgotten the word, or that they did not receive the words of Christ pertaining to his death and resurrection with faith. Christ has been teaching them that I will die, I will suffer, but I will resurrect from the dead. But clearly they did not get it. Either they did not get it or they did not believe it. The angels have to remind the women of the words of Christ, verses 6 to 7. And Luke could not be more straightforward when he said, and they did not believe them, in verse 11. And this unbelief, yung unbelief po nitong mga disciples, became more evident When their heart's desire is to see Jesus first, and I would say presumably, before they will believe. Kaya po sa dulo ng verse 21, when they were narrating to Jesus everything that had happened, and some of them went out to check what the women had said, at the end of verse 24, it says there, but him, they did not see. They would want to see Christ before they would believe. Thus, Jesus had to rebuke the two disciples in verse 25. Listen to this blunt rebuke from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 25. Oh, foolish ones. Pwede palang gumamit ng word na foolish. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's their problem. Slow of heart to believe. Because they did not understand and believe what Jesus taught them regarding his death and resurrection from the Old Testament. Again, Jesus already taught them several times prior to his death. The information about the resurrection of Jesus were rather irrelevant to them. Again, it actually appeared like mindless tale, idle tale. It was illogical to them, to say the least, but really, it was really a crazy idea. For the disciples, it just did not make sense. Just didn't make sense. Is it not what the sophisticated lawyer Thomas insisted in John 20:25? Probably kasama na po yung inggit. Bakit siya lang ang hindi nakakita kay Jesus on Jesus' first appearance to the disciples? Remember his question or his words in verse 25. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. Unbelief is always insisting on seeing, while faith is holding on to the word of God. Would it be enough for you that you have heard God's word? And after hearing the gospel and that Jesus have resurrected from the dead, is there certainty in your heart that he indeed resurrected from the dead? Now, faith seemed to be the eyes by which we should see the death and resurrection of Jesus if we should see him as the Christ. When disciples did not see it in the eyes of faith, they remained sad and hopeless. And I wonder if we who knows and certain that we are saved, and yet again we live life sad and hopeless, I wonder if we receive these truths with faith. And think about it, if you are really certain whatever would happen, I'll go to heaven. Whatever would happen, my sins has been forgiven. Whatever would happen, the death and resurrection of Christ has secured a room for me in heaven. Yes, I'm not saying we will not be affected by our problems. I'm not saying that we will not be affected by the things that we go through in life, but we will not be hopeless. We will not be living a hopeless life. I think it is the same explanation that despite the big celebrations, many today remain sad and hopeless. And if there's one thing I want us to see here, the Word of God cannot be overshadowed by all these traditions. We cannot drown the Word of God by the celebrations around us. And mind you, I'm not just talking about our Catholic friends, our Catholic relatives. I'm not just talking about it. I'm also talking about our own family traditions. In fact, I would say many of these our Catholic friends are better than us because at least they took time to remember the works of Christ on this time of the year, while many evangelicals are excited simply to rest and enjoy a good vacation instead of being excited to gather together because we are to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Now let's jump to the third observation. The death and resurrection of Christ cannot be understood apart from the Word, but even if we know that, if we do not respond in faith, it will remain nothing. So our third observation is that the need to be enlightened if the teaching on the word of the Word on the death and resurrection of Christ should be understood and believed and bring hope. We need the enlightenment of God. Luke progressively communicated his point on the need of the Word of God, the women, to the two disciples, to the rest of the disciples. We understand that. The need of the Word of God in enlightening our understanding on the death and resurrection of Christ, that it might change our sadness and hopelessness to joy and certainty. Yes, it was already amazing. Think about it. You know, you are led to the Bible study by an angel. It was already amazing. But when the resurrected Christ led these disciples to a Bible study, this is in a whole different level. Now, realizing that these two disciples did not understand verses 25 to 27, let me read again. Jesus said to them, "O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." Now, look at what happened here. Luke, Jesus says, was it not necessary? If he should be the Christ of the scripture, it was necessary for him to die and rise because it is what the scripture teaches about the Christ, that he would suffer and die. Jesus reminded them in verse 44, the disciples, that this is what he has been teaching them, and then concluded it in verse 26, saying, "Thus it is written that this Christ should, not might, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And only after that, that forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all nations," verse 47, which is actually what the book of Acts is all about. We then understand that without Jesus' death and resurrection, there will be no forgiveness of sins. This is what the law, the prophets, and the Psalms teach, that forgiveness of sins happen when the Messiah, when the Christ will die for their sins and resurrect from the dead. Notice carefully that Luke did not specifically mention a passage, at least with how Luke recorded it. Because it says there Jesus interpreted them to them one by one, he clearly pointed some passages to them. But for Luke, he wanted us to see that it's not just separate passages without having any connection to each other. For Luke, he wanted us to show that Jesus pieced all these passages together to tell us that this is the teaching of the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. In other words, he said that Jesus understood that this is a doctrine in the Old Testament. If you ask what is a doctrine is a teaching you come up after you put these things together, after you see how the scripture developed a certain theme. And for Luke, for Jesus, when you look at the scripture in the theme of the Christ, you should be able to understand that the Christ should die and rise from the dead. Now, this is very timely to teach because we know that the disciples did not expect Jesus to die. Verse 21, again, is very telling. It tells us that we had hope. We had hope. Is that how it says? Yes, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. In other words, now we lost it. And it tells us their understanding that if Jesus was supposed to be their Messiah, he's not supposed to die. They have a very political understanding of the Messiah. For them, he should come in glory without going through suffering. This is the theological problem with these disciples. For them, the Messiah will come in all his glory without going through suffering. And Jesus said, no. It is necessary for suffering to come first before glory. Jesus might have reminded them, because it says there Jesus walked them through the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Jesus might have said to them, do you remember Genesis 3:15? That the son of the woman who is supposed to be the Christ, the Redeemer, will have his heel bruised by Satan. And maybe you have forgotten that Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, is in a context where for you to know that faith will be reckoned as faith, there was a sacrifice. And maybe you have forgotten that the Passover lamb, there was someone who died just so that the angel of death will not kill the firstborn in the household of Israel. And haven't you smelled the book of Leviticus? It smells blood, isn't it? And maybe you have forgotten the Psalms that talks about this Messianic Psalm. And all this Messianic Psalm talks about suffering. Have you forgotten Psalm 22, where the supposed to be Christ would be crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I would not be surprised when I get to heaven and I will ask Jesus if he brought in Isaiah 53. That the Christ, according to Isaiah 53, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. And maybe especially Peter, he would love to argue, but maybe he would insist, but Jesus, we see a powerful king coming. But Jesus said, yes, I do not deny that, Peter, that the powerful king is coming. But what would you do about this suffering? And let me tell you now that the suffering should come first before glory. And Jesus, why would the Messiah die? When we see in Psalm 16 and verse 10 that the Messiah, seemed to be the Messiah, will not decay in the grave. And Jesus says, exactly the point. Exactly the point. Peter, exactly the point. Thomas, exactly the point. He will die. He will die. But Psalm 16, verse 10 teaches us that the grave will not hold him. Yes, he will die. But he will not let his Holy One, and take note, let his Holy One see corruption. Yes, he died, but you have to remember, he is holy. And the grave is not his place because he is holy. And that's why Paul, I believe, picked up on that. And Paul said, no, he resurrected from the dead because he conquered the last death, the last enemy, which is death. The death and resurrection of Jesus can be taken simply as an emotional thing that can be reenacted to stir up emotions. Or, as far as the disciples, the death was a loss of hope, and the resurrection is a nonsensical idea. Parang nonsense. As I again said earlier, I saw my best friend posting a reenactment of the Passion of Jesus. And while I was looking at this picture, I cannot help but sense that there is an emotionally, you know, stirring of emotions. And people are emotional these days, isn't it? But you cannot be saved by your emotions. Without understanding the scripture or what the scripture says about the death and resurrection of Jesus, the highest that one can get is to be steered emotionally, which is far from seeing the death and resurrection of Jesus as our only hope for the forgiveness of sins. And Luke 24 is not a record, a historical, although Luke is a historian. Luke 24 is a story of grace. This is a story of grace. And oh, what grace that he extended us, his people. The women, the two disciples, and the rest of the disciples did not only know that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. Jesus appeared to them, yes, let them see and probably touch his hands and feet. Even ate with them. And you would think, why would Jesus eat with them? Is he hungry? No. It was to prove to them that I am flesh and bone. That I really resurrected from the dead. That's why Jesus ate again with them, lest later on they will be confused because there were Gnostics who will be teaching that Jesus is like a phantom. Parang ano lang po, kung sa atin ngayon, hologram. Parang nagmumukhang tao pero hindi talaga tao. But Jesus wanted to prove to them, no, I am flesh and bone. Give me some of the fish. Not even just heard the Bible study coming from Jesus Christ himself about his death and resurrection of Christ. Oh, what grace Luke 24 is telling us. Because in verse 45 explains why we find hope in the death and resurrection of Christ. In verse 35, we are told that Jesus opened their minds to understand Scripture. Jesus opened their minds to understand scriptures. Without this, we would never understand. Without that work of God, without that work of the Holy Spirit that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we will never understand the value of these things. We are not told much by Luke about the change of their understanding. We could not read there that they're saying, I finally get it. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful Bible study. Now I understand why you have to die and you have to... But what we are told is the effect of it in the disciples. The women were clearly excited to tell the disciples in verse 9. After recognizing Jesus through the breaking of the bread and vanished before their sight, the disciples said to each other, when they finally knew that it was Jesus, they told one another, did not our hearts burn within us on the road while he talked to us the scripture? Well, the truth about the death and resurrection of Christ from the scripture enlightens their hearts. it brought overwhelming joy within them. Their hearts were burning. They were not dry anymore. They were not sad anymore. In fact, they were so excited that though it was already evening, we are told in verse 33, I think, that in that same hour, they returned to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that they have indeed seen Jesus. And though Luke did not tell us what happened to the disciples after they heard a Bible study from Jesus, he made sure that we know what changed after. In the last two verses of Luke 24, we read of this, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing. This is the true value of understanding the death and resurrection of Christ from the Scripture. We don't have to see the risen Christ. God uses His Word so that even if I did not see Jesus, I do not have to see Him physically now, because the Word, through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, have put assurance in my heart that Jesus has resurrected from the dead and that my sins has been forgiven. And I like the fact that verse 48 tells us that in there, Jesus said, now that you understand this one, then the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. You will become witnesses of it. But we have to go back to the truth. We have to allow Scripture to govern our hearts and minds. So that whatever you feel, before I am so dependent upon my emotions, I share the gospel because I am so fired up. But even if I'm not fired up, if I tell people that they will be saved through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they will be saved if God in His goodness would give them the faith. But do you see the immeasurable grace of God for us who believe? That the death and resurrection of Jesus for us now is no longer just a historical fact, but it made us know with certainty that He is the Christ. All because God has opened our hearts to understand His Word. So here's our one point after our three observations. The death and resurrection of Jesus actually prove that He is the Christ according to Scripture. When you were reading last Wednesday, and probably you were reading Luke 23 just so that you will be refreshed, did you feel like, why are you doing this? Pilate, you said that Jesus is not guilty of death. Why did you give Him to the crowd? Did you feel like, why would the crowd whom Jesus fed with bread suddenly cried out, crucify? Do you feel like you want to save Jesus from the death in your heart? Do you feel like in your heart, this is wrong? You're not supposed to do that. Jesus is not supposed to die. Well, you've read the story emotionally. If you know the story, He has to die. Because if He will not die, He is not the Christ. And if He will not resurrect, He is not the Christ. But unless the Lord enlightens one to understand the Scripture, he would never be able to see the death. Or we would never be able to see the death and resurrection of Jesus as our hope. The disciples felt like they lost their hope when Jesus died, and the resurrection did not make sense to them because they did not see things as fulfillment of what Scripture says. However, if they looked at Scripture for things in light of Scripture, they would have already seen it as their hope even before Jesus appeared to them. Again, we do not need to see Jesus physically to see the resurrection and death of Christ as our hope in life and death, because we see things not through our physical eyes. We see things through faith. We do not see things through physical eyes. We hold on to God's word. To the Pharisees, who refused to believe though Jesus opened the eyes of a man born blind, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see." These are the Pharisees who knows a lot of things and claim to have known things. Jesus said, they may become blind because they did not believe. But praise God again. He made us understand what Scripture really teaches. So now we see that Jesus is the Christ, our only hope in life and death. So even now, as Christians, if we are to be full of hope, we have to continue to exercise our faith in the death and resurrection of Christ. I wonder why the Resurrection Sunday is treated trivially by a lot of Christians. The Holy Week is more of a time to have a vacation, be invigorated by nature and whatever, than a rejoicing on the hope-giving death and resurrection of Christ. Forgive me, but I could not understand at times our hearts. We have this big truth that the resurrection of Christ secures our room in heaven. And that is not enough to bring joy in our hearts. We need something else. I wonder if we know the details of the happening of the last week of the life of Christ on earth, but we are not intentionally meditating on the word so that our hearts may burn within us. And it is no wonder why we live life scared, a scared people. We still live like people just seeking for something that would make us feel secure, all the while our eternity is firmly fixed because of the death and resurrection of Christ. We have it already, but it is not impacting our lives because we are no longer meditating on God's word. Sometimes we are just content that we know the historical events. But those historical events will not come to life in our hearts if we don't meditate on God's word. Now, when that happened, we do not just live, or we live in our feelings. We live in our circumstance. We live in our wants. We live in what we have instead of living in the truth. You see, when our wants, our feelings, our circumstance are the things that govern our hearts, then we live in them. The emotions of the disciples at the time was governing their hearts, so they live in their emotions. But when the truth of the resurrection and the death and resurrection of Christ will govern our hearts, then we live in the truth. We should live in the truth that we are eternally secure because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Let the Word of God illumine our hearts and live in the truth. What I believe is sad today is that social media has stolen our time that is supposed to be spent on meditating God's word. Try to check your phone on how your screen time did during the Holy Week. And because of it, even our Holy Week is spent in unholy things. But hey, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Rejoice, for right there is your hope. Let me just draw some implications and we'll close. Then we understand the necessity of the preaching of the word, isn't it? That the word cannot be relegated on the side, because it is the word of God that God used to bring hope into our hearts. The necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, that we ask that the Holy Spirit would work and illumine our hearts and minds if the truths of the death and resurrection of Christ would bring faith into our hearts. Thirdly, the necessity of the death and resurrection for Jesus to be the Christ and be our hope. As Jesus preached, that his disciples should understand that the word of God teaches the death and resurrection of Christ, that they might seize death and resurrection as their hope instead of losing their hope. We should indeed understand the word of God and let the truth of the death of Christ set our hearts burning for God and solidify our hope.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.